My friends, you've no doubt noticed the Christmas season is over, the decorations are gone, and now we move on in our gospel readings with the very beginning of Jesus' public ministry. Today we begin the sequence that we call Ordinary Time. The gospel readings from year A, which is the year we're in, come almost entirely from St. Matthew, but on this second Sunday in Ordinary Time, we are offered a reading from the Gospel of John, which tells us how our patron saint, St. John the Baptist, came to identify Jesus. Now, before I go too far, let me offer a reminder of an important point. The point is, when the Gospels give us John the Baptist, we are getting a very distinct interpretation of who Jesus is. And we should pay very close attention. And here's what John says, probably one of the greatest witnesses ever given by man. He says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Now we Catholics hear that all the time. It's said at every single Mass. But what does it mean? You know, a bishop once asked a group of Catholics in a very informal survey this question. When John the Baptist says that, and when we say that at Mass, "Behold the Lamb of God," what do you think that means? Think about that question. How would you answer? Well, in this informal survey, almost everyone responded, "It means Jesus is gentle, and he's innocent as a lamb." And yes, those things are true for sure, but the meaning goes much deeper. For any devout Jew in the time of Jesus, a lamb would have evoked a very powerful religious meaning. A lamb was considered the most appropriate sin substitute when it came to making animal sacrifices. And just as an aside, this was not unique to the Jewish tradition, but was prevalent in almost every ancient culture. It was a basic religious practice to take an animal and sacrifice the animal as a religious act. Anyway, the first place we come upon the concept of the Lamb of God is in the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. And even though this book was written some 600 years before Jesus, it describes the feelings of God's people as they look at the suffering servant on the cross. It describes almost perfectly what happens to Jesus, and closes with, "He is wounded for our sins, bruised for our iniquities. He has taken upon himself the chastisement that makes us whole." And that is what John the Baptist is referring to when he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." The real question then is why? Why did the world need a Savior? Why did God's Son become a man to suffer and die for us? Did the Word have to become flesh? Well, we certainly can't tell God what's necessary and unnecessary, but we can try to come to an understanding of God's plan. You see, from the very beginning of the world, we were made fundamentally good. God created us in his image and likeness, and all creation was entrusted to human beings. Sadly, man in his selfishness, self-centeredness, and desire to be like God perverted the whole purpose of creation. Instead of glorifying God, creation was used to satisfy man's selfish needs. But God still didn't take the gift of creation away from us. A man would once more restore creation to God's original plan. Jesus is that man. Jesus came to live as the Father wants us all to live. He sacrificed himself completely for others so that we could see and experience sacrificial love. He called us to use creation as the Father meant creation to be used. God's plan for mankind could once more be put into effect since the Son of God became a man who was the Lamb, the perfect sacrifice, the only sacrifice. Jesus, and only Jesus, restored our life with God. Okay? So what do we do with that? Well, we follow the example set by John the Baptist. John the Baptist was called to declare to us that Christ, the Lamb of God, has come. God has entered the human condition, and now God is about to begin his public ministry. One could say then, as one could say now, behold, God is in your midst. Now, we all probably have this mental image of what that looked like 2,000 plus years ago. But what does it look like today? An 8-year-old boy is facing surgery. And he asks his doctor, what's it like to die? Neither the doctor nor anyone else on the medical staff can answer his question directly. But one hospital employee can. She isn't a doctor or a nurse or a child psychologist. She cleans floors. One night the boy asks her, are you afraid of dying? She puts down her mop, looks at the boy and replies, yes, I am, but I do something about it. She talks to the boy as an equal and not as a superior. She tells him that she believes in God and finds comfort in the words of Jesus. The two talk for a long time into the night. She has put the boy at peace simply by listening to him. Behold, the Lamb of God. Behold, God is in your midst. You know, I don't know if you were here last week, and if you were, I don't know if you noticed, but there was a memorial for Pope Benedict right in front of the baptismal font, and that got me to thinking about some of the things that Pope Benedict, brilliant, brilliant theologian, had said. And I found this passage in a homily he wrote. Now, and that this particular passage is so perfect for today, but more importantly, it's perfect for every one of you to listen to and to remember and to embrace every day of your life. So Pope Benedict's homily was on Sunday, April 24th, 2005, the day his papacy began. And these are the words. We are not some casual and meaningless product of evolution. Each of us is a result of a thought of God. Each of us is willed. Each of us is loved. Each of us is necessary. My friends, in every act of selfless generosity, in every act of humble compassion, the Lamb of God walks in our midst. Every one of us, of every profession and age, possessing every skill, talent, and ability, has been called, as John the Baptist was called, to point to the Christ, the Lamb of God, dwelling among us and walking with us in our doubts, our fears, and our hurts. In our generosity, we can express that in the things that we do, in our generosity and our compassion for others, and in our everyday lives of joy and love, friendship, and purpose. Behold the Lamb of God. Christ is forever in our midst. And so throughout this new year, let us pray that God allows us to be Christ, the Lamb of God, to someone in need.